Cool. So yeah, I'm going to still talk about magic and books because, hey, that's just the kind of guy I am. Because I can talk for ages about it. But Garth Nix is another guy that I found very, very interesting in terms of what his writing was. He had two books which I think were, two series, which I think were actually quite impressive just because, like, they were very different in what the magic was. I mean, he wrote a couple more books that were separate from these, but the thing that I found impressive about Garth Nix was actually that, like, I mean, while his writing wasn't anything groundbreaking, it's still, like, each magic system was very individual, very different. It had a very, very different feel to it. Like, there was, in one series, like, I can't remember what the, like, it was the, like, Mr. Monday series or the, like, weekday series or whatever. But it was, like, it was this idea that there was, like, that there was the real, like, there was the normal world, and then there was this kind of, like, parallel world, which was, like, this universe that had, that was, like, a seven-tier, a seven-tier realm that, like each different, like, level had, was like, a different kingdom, like, run by a different lord, or whatever. Where there was, like, there was Mr. Monday, Lord Tuesday, Drowned Wednesday, Sir Thursday, Lady Friday, Quiz, Something Friday, Superior Saturday, and then I think it was just Lord Sunday again, I think. But the thing is that, like, all these different people, like, the days of the week are the, like, they're the days that they're able to walk on Earth, or whatever, which doesn't feature that much in the book, actually, but the whole idea is that, like, each one, like, it's, like, this weird kind of, like, completely magical place where, like, there are different hierarchies and, like, it's like a weird kind of twisted version of Earth where there's loads of things that are, like, similar to things over on Earth, but there's just kind of, it's kind of, like, Alice in Wonderland-esque in a way where, like, there's something called, like, there's one bit where, like, I remember this, it was years ago that I read this, but, like, in Mr. Monday, there's this one, like, character who's just, like, a regular worker who's helping the main character, who's called Arthur, and, like, he's helping him, he's like, careful, I don't want to get, you know, like, you be careful, otherwise you'll get washed between the ears. And the guy goes, don't you mean washing behind the ears? And he goes, like, no, they put their hands in and they wash it and they clean all the stuff out. And it's like, what are you talking about? Where it's like a way of, like, they used to do, like, memory, they would do, like, memory censorship on certain people by, like, just by washing them between the ears. And there's, like, all this weird stuff where, like, different, like there was, the magic was weird. It was kind of, there weren't any rules to it. They just kind of happened, but it was due to, like, hierarchy. Like, your magic wasn't something that you just had naturally as a person. You, like, your magic was something that was due to, like, what level you were in the social hierarchy, but it was also, like, your job. Like, your job, like, once you got promoted, you got more magic, basically, in a weird way. And, like, the person at the top, they had this, like, special item with them. With Mr. Monday, I think it was, like, special kind of, like, sword thing, but it was, like, the pointer on a clock, but it was fashioned into a sword. And, like, that artifact was, like, really, really powerful and could control different things. And, like, people, and, like, each of the different lords had their own, like, morning, noon, and night, or, like, evening, morning, day, or whatever, where, like, they were their, like, three, like, main helpers, like, their executives or whatever, where they're, like, these people were, like, second in command, but, like, they all had quite a good bit of magic in them. And as you go through the book, you're going to the main character keeps going back to the different levels, and each time they're, like, acquiring new artifacts, because the thing is that apparently they're the destined, like, the chosen one or whatever to, like, reestablish things and put their god, basically the architect, like, back into power, he's been, like, supplanted by all of these lords. Or, like, he put them in power and then disappeared, and then these people have, like, all become corrupt and, like, are doing their own thing. And it's very interesting because, like, Because like all of the power, like all of the like magic and stuff is fully will based. Like it just does what it does. You can kind of just control the world, but that requires these specific items, and even that is not like world breaking. Like you still have to like think of how it's interesting because it connects with that kind of like old idea of magic, because like now, like because of Harry Potter and like Harry Potter and like I don't know all the different superhero movies that we always think about it in terms of like, okay, well you could like theoretically have a spell that just like ruins this, like you're being attacked by something, you could just do a spell on it and kill it or stop it or whatever. We think about it in very physical terms. But the interesting thing is that these books connect with the magic in a lot more kind of an esoteric way, in a way that like they have to like think around the problem and use the innate magic of the thing in order to like form it. Because the thing is, it's never like a straight fight, I guess. Like that's probably what's so interesting about it, is that like you're going on an adventure and you're being confronted by physical threats, but none of them are just a fight. None of them are just like a magical sword battle or anything like that. They're just like trying to figure out a way around these different problems. So it's interesting how like, because that really helps the idea of freeform magic, because you have to just kind of think about it. So I think that's cool. His other book, or his previous trilogy, the Abhorsen trilogy, like this one's full of weird names. The three books are Sabriel, Lirael, and Abhorsen are the names. And like, the idea is that like, it's interesting because that that one is very structured, because you have this thing called wild magic, but that's not really dealt with or encountered that much. It's just like, it is kind of this freeform kind of magic, but it's very difficult and treacherous and all this kind of thing, and nobody really uses it. But then you have this thing called the Charter, which is this kind of like weird ethereal world or realm of like laws and like things and structured magic. It's not a physical place, it's just a thing. And you have people called Charter users who have like this mark, like they're baptized like when they're children by having like the mark, like a certain charter mark drawn on their forehead with certain ash and like burned into their forehead. But the thing is that like the way that you do magic is by drawing, like with your hands or whatever you draw, or like through whatever ritual, you create these like charter marks, which are certain symbols that have different effects. So like you have like you can draw like a charter mark to like put somebody to sleep, but you can also like draw a charter mark to like create light, and like different things correspond to like different effects. And there's also like due to wild magic, the main presence of wild magic is zombies. There's loads of zombies. But the charter users like find ways to like keep them off and like use charter marks to keep them at bay. But then you also have like something called the wall. Not like a Game of Thrones. Well, it is very similar to Game of Thrones in a way, because like across the wall, like on the two sides of the wall, you've got the one like magic place where charter magic and wild magic rules. But then past the wall, you've got actual civilization, like machines and electronics and all that kind of stuff. Like you've got the real world, I guess, which most people have like think that like the people who live closest to the wall just think that like, oh, that's just a bunch of like religious mumbo jumbo, isn't it? Like that's an old religion that nobody really prescribes to. But then people who live right next to the wall are aware that it is actually a thing, because it's kind of cool how like the way that he does it is that like right next to the wall, that's basically like no man's land constantly, because it's close enough that like zombies are constantly rising from there, and there's like a whole border patrol that are there to keep these zombies down. And like whenever a like hard wind blows from behind the wall, suddenly like the effects or the availability of magic goes further. So like if you're a charter user on the other side and a strong wind blows towards you from behind the wall, suddenly you're like, oh yeah, I can do more stuff, yeah. And it's kind of interesting how that works. And like, of course, more zombies. But the cool thing is that it limits things because it's limited to like how many marks or how many symbols you can create. Like you can do really quick, like, fire, like really quickly. But then if you want something that's more effective and is actually gonna help you, you have to spend time, go like, making the thing, zombies. And you know, so it kind of has a nice limitation. Anyway.